Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Nick Cripps, 4 years of combination experience, third generation firefighter, volunteer captain with Claymont Fire Company in Newcastle County, Delaware, and career firefighter EMT with Christiana Fire Company. Nick's future is so bright. I actually envy how this generation of young firefighters are obtaining so much useful knowledge and gaining tremendous fire experience with how the fire service is moving. Being able to obtain information at the touch of a button is truly remarkable. At just 22 years young, Nick's mindset toward the fire service and life is profound. If you're an individual who's a part of the fire service and are looking for ideas on how to help obtain and retain members within your organization, please do yourself a favor and listen to Nick explain how Claymont operates. We need more individuals like Nick to become future officers of departments around the country, holding up traditions, values, and standards. With that, I present Nick Cripps.
Good morning. My name's Nick Cripps, fire captain with Claymont Fire Company, career firefighter EMT with the Christiana Fire Company in Newcastle County, Delaware. Started my fire service career in Wildwood, New Jersey, as a junior firefighter with the North Wildwood Fire Department. I was there for 4 years until I graduated high school, moved out to Claymont, Delaware, became a live-in through the live-in program, and from there, I obtained my fire certs and EMT, getting hired with the Tallyville Fire Company, and then later where I'm currently at, the Christiana Fire Company.
Okay. Do you have any family members in the fire service in the emergency services field, or are you the first?
Yeah, so my dad was a fireman for the City of Wildwood Fire Department for 25 years before he retired in June of 24. And I pretty much just followed in his footsteps. And his dad was also a fireman for the North Wildwood Fire Department before him.
Okay. All right. And so obviously from the get-go, your dad set the tone. You knew exactly, like, this is what you wanted to do.
Yeah. Growing up, I mean, a very small town in Wildwood, and everyone knew everybody. And then being able to hang out at the firehouse is very close-knit. So that's kind of, you know, really kicked it off, is being able to, you know, go to work with my dad or just visiting and them guys taking me in as one of their own. And it really kicked off the, you know, I really want to be a fireman when I get older.
Okay. And so I know you said you started in Wildwood. How did you find your way towards the Delaware area?
Yeah. So probably junior of high school, I was looking for some sort of a living program, something to, you know, kind of boost my experience and skill level. Wildwood's a great place. It's great in the summertime. They get real busy, but, you know, they do a lot of nuisance runs with the little fires. And it's not knocking them. They're all great dudes. They got, you know, great programs, good SOPs, and they're part of the, you know, the county USAR team and whatnot. But I was just looking for something a little bit more busy, somewhere I can run, you know, the fire volume, the cut volume, and just get all that extra experience to make me, you know, that much better and be able to take it elsewhere.
So then how did you, did somebody recommend Claymont, or was it something you found through social media?
Yeah. So, within looking through living programs, you know, went through PG a little bit, looked on all their social medias and, you know, couldn't exactly find the place I was looking for. And then, you know, I went to look for, actually, it's funny, I looked for Christiana, and at the time they didn't have a living program because of their building renovations. So then I found Claymont, scheduled a ride along with the proctor at the time, and came up here, did one ride along, and I was pretty locked in from there. I liked the way they were doing everything. They were out front training, you know, midday. All the guys were real nice. I saw, got to see the living hallway and everything like that, and it, you know, really clicked. And from there, I kind of knew, like, Claymont, Delaware is the place, just because of, one, the guys over here, the culture, and how close it was to home. So traveling and stuff like that, it made it the best place for me to be able to come up, live here, and then be close to my family as well.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, to me, that this is an important topic, and I'd like for you to be as detailed as you can, because, you know, we have a recruitment and retention problem in the fire service, whether that's career or volunteer, like, yep, everybody's seeing the impact of it. So can you explain how the ride along program went, like how you went about it, and then, you know, the next steps going forward?
Yeah, for sure. So, from when I joined in 2021 to now, it's only been a couple of years. We've had a lot of changes. So when I came in, you would do your three ride alongs to get an application, and from there you would get voted in by the membership and whatnot. So when I came in, I did one ride along, and I was still 17 when I did my first ride along. And at the time, you weren't allowed to do them till you're 18. So I came up, just hung out for the day. And then went home and then scheduled my next couple. Was able to spend the night due to being so far away. And from there, that's when I started earning my keep already, just jumping into chores and stuff like that. And it kind of, left a good taste in everyone's mouths with being able to just show that I really wanted to be there. It allowed me to, to start staying overnight a little bit more before becoming a member, start riding the fire truck, before I was really supposed to. And it just kept going from there. And then, now with our program, we actually do a pre-ride along interview. So we just get a, get to know you, get to know the person that's doing the ride along. And they get to kind of know what we're about, getting some sort of an expectation of, what's the day is going to be like. And then from there, they'll do 2 12-hour ride alongs from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then after that, they'll get their application and can start their membership.
Okay. And then whenever that individual figures like, hey, this is the place I want to be, you get your application for membership. I'm assuming you fill it out. They do all the background checks like most organizations do. And then once they vote you on, and let's just say you're 18, whoever's applying is 18 and older, what are the next steps?
So once they hand in their application, people with fire certifications can kind of jump into it a little quicker. So once that application's in for us, you've already started that process. You're part of the company, no matter what. You're covered through all the, legality ends and insurance and stuff like that. So we get you right into it. So our rookie book is compressed of two different sections. So we have a riding cleared section and a fire cleared section. So they'll work on that riding cleared section to be able to ride the apparatus in which we staff, which is the engine tower and the rescue engine. So as they get cleared on those specific apparatus, they're able to start riding them. The first step is getting layout cleared and riding cleared, which allows them to ride the engine. Then they have to work on the riding cleared section of the engine, which is somewhat similar to the fire cleared, but not as in depth. So it's like all of our exterior positions. So, learning how to stretch and pack the lines, starting the pumps, starting the saws, where all the equipment is and stuff like that. Once they get through there, they can start working on their fire cleared sections, which is a little bit more in depth. It's, flowing and moving, advancing lines up and down stairs, being able to properly deploy the hand lines, whether it's a forward according, reverse according, using the stairs, the apartment across, and stuff like that. And then even more in depth for, the special service types of things, whether it's, completing searches and stuff like that, or cutting a roof, cutting a car, et cetera, pretty much. And once they have a year to finish that rookie book. And then from there we have, we have an earn it program. So we do have company patches, and for those members to earn those patches, they have to complete, another packet. And that's kind of just a continued education thing. We noticed, once guys started finishing up their rookie book, there was really nothing else until their officer packet or the driver packet. So we implemented our earn it program, and that's their way to earn their patches. And it's a little bit of an incentive to actually continue their education. And then from there, you can either go on to your officer packet or driver packet. There's really no specific order. It's whatever they're most comfortable in. There's going to be people in the fire service that may never want to be an officer, but they enjoy driving the fire apparatus, or vice versa. And we have guys, don't like driving the fire apparatus because they're not comfortable with it, but they're great fire officers. So they can kind of choose their path in which they want to go from there.
Okay. And I'm not familiar with how Delaware does your certs, but if somebody's coming in that actually has certifications, is there like can you challenge the state on that having to actually go through your entire certification list again?
Yeah, so the nice thing is that up until recently, Delaware, not a bad way, wasn't a pro board standard state. So they didn't have you didn't have to have pro board certs to be counted as a fireman. It was 4 weekends of just the basics, and then you would come back to your home company, and they would kind of take you from there. And that's kind of where Claymont stemmed, and a lot of companies have now have been or started doing their own live burn clearings because of that. So with new members coming in, they can take their certifications, especially if they're pro board. They give them to us. We send them to the state fire school, and we get them to accept their certifications and their credits. And usually by that, we just send their certification and their the rundown from their class and stuff like that to get make sure that it meets all the same criteria.
Okay. And then how long does it normally take for an individual to wrap up their packet? Is it pretty much how fast they want to go? Or I know you mentioned that there's a year, but if somebody can somebody get it done faster than that?
Yeah, so it's all what they put into it. That's what we try to tell all the guys that come up. And we have, people from all over. We've had people from New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Colorado, Florida, that either have come and rode for a couple of years or are still actively riding. And I tell them guys, it's all the same thing. It's all about what you put into it. You can come up for a week and do one page in your book, and that's fine, but that limits you to what you're allowed to do within the firehouse and on the fireground. So, for them, it should be they're in their best interest every time they come in, to be knocking out as much as they possibly can in their book. So guys, our live-ins are actually held to a little bit of higher of a standard. So we require them to have their book done within the first 2 months of living, of moving in. And the nice thing about that is that we don't allow members to become live-ins until they have 3 months of active riding, just to make sure that they understand what the live-in program is about and stuff like that. And the guys that have already been living there are comfortable with that individual. Living here kind of seems like a funky thing to people that are outside of the fire service or certain people that don't really know what it's about. And for us, it's a home. We have a full kitchen with cabinet space and fridge space, all of our own rooms. That are decorated our way, and all of our own locker space in the bathrooms, and it's very personalized for us. So we want to make sure that everyone we bring in to live with us, we're comfortable with. It's no different than finding a roommate for an apartment. It's making sure that that's someone you're going to be comfortable living with, and they live up to the standards that are already set forth by the people before us.
Is there what happens with when that individual that's a live-in is not technically, I don't want to say like on duty, but like if they're off, are they still allowed to stay there?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something that I think is pretty unique for us is that, our program specifically understands the guy's needs for days off. And we keep track of our hours through a Google Sheet riding board. So it has our own, the physical riding board of our riding positions and where our guys are riding for the day. And then we have a staffing board section. And it's Sunday to Saturday, broken up into 4 shifts. A, B, C, and D. A shift is midnight to 06. B shift is 6 to noon. C shift is noon to 1800. And then D shift is 1800 to midnight. And that's kind of how we keep our staffing up. And then live-ins are required to do 48 a week. And then active members need to do 100 a year to keep their membership. But with the live-ins, if they're either killing their 48, or they had a rough night at work and they want to come in and go to bed, they can do that. A lot of our, I believe, 12 of the 14 people that live here currently work shift work through a fire department. So if they have a rough morning or rough night, they can come in, rack out for a little bit and then come back on the board when ready. Or if they have laundry to get done, schoolwork, whatever it may be, they can also do that.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay. And they don't if they choose to work like an entire 24 hours, can they do that or does it have to be that
Yeah, and like
particular?
everyone always asks, a lot of my friends from back home and stuff like that are like, "Oh, are you working at Claymont tonight?" And it's, we're not really, we don't really see it as working. We truly see it as a home. We come home from work, we get to, shower and jump into our comfy clothes like gym shorts and t-shirts or sweatpants and sweatshirts. Like, we're not held to a uniform standard here. It's, it is our home. We make it as comfortable as we can be. So, the only strict things we have are truck checks at 8 a.m. that lead into our chores. And then after that, the day's everyone else's. So they can kind of just come in and relax. And yeah, they could do 24 hours, and guys have done on, 36 hours straight or 72 hours straight because of so 3 days off and they have nothing in between. The nice part is that, we're busy enough to stay active and, have a reason to be here and make us want to be here and enjoy living here. But we're not so busy that, we're getting burnt out between, our regular scheduled shift and living here. We're not running every night. We're not, up all night or having crazy runs in the middle of the night. We're able to, get full nights of sleep. And I think that helps with our retention part of the living program.
Okay. And so if I can ask you, what hooked you to Claymont? What was it, the first couple ride-alongs, or was it how they pretty much from the outside, me being an outside person looking in, it seems like very structured in their standards.
So that's kind of like the nice part of it. It's definitely something that I was attracted to. So that structure of it from just seeing from my ride-alongs, I really enjoyed seeing, the riding assignments, the way the staffing was set out, the county SOPs and the arrival assignments in which we follow and the box alarms and stuff like that, laying out and stretching anything that's reported as, smoke or fire. It was cool for an outsider and someone who wasn't as busy from their home fire company to see. And it was something that really grabbed me. And I'm sure I could have seen that anywhere else, but then the way to see, the guys that were living here and ha how happy they were here to be here. They were down the train. They were just ready for the next step all the time because of how comfortable the living situation was and, the guys they live with. It just made it a good place to be. Between the meals we had on my ride-alongs, the chores, just hanging out, laughing, stuff like that. They really make you feel like one when you come in. And I think that's something that we really try to do is keep everyone involved. And that was a big hook for me, was seeing, no matter what, even on a slow day, we're still laughing and goofing around, but we're also getting, truck checks and chores done and going on runs. And just being able to hang out like it's a home was really a thing that was big to me.
Okay. You mentioned about anything reported smoke or fire you guys are laying out. It's one of those discussions where some people see it as like, I don't want to drop. I'm assuming you guys have like 3-inch.
So we run a 4-inch cotton.
4-inch. Okay. So like if you have some guys that are like dropping 400 foot of supply line to a reported fire, but with nothing showing, like they see that as it's very tedious. Like, we're gonna have to go back and pick all this up. But I love companies that are proactive when it comes to that. Like, this is what we're gonna do regardless.
And, I don't really judge people on, their different SOPs because coming from, a place like Wildwood, they're very different. They don't do the whole layout and stretching and stuff like that unless it's actually on fire. But those guys are good at that. They're good at, hey, it's on fire and being, reactive and getting that hydrant stretched. And, they're also in a grid system. If they don't have a hydrant on the corner, it's mid-block. So they're real easy, to get that hydrant and get their water supply, but they're still effective in their searches and stretching the line. So from an outsider, it's I understand, that's what works for people. Stick with it. I don't want them to think that people are either, throwing up the information on them or trying to shove it, down their throats. But for Newcastle County, I think it's a great thing. When you get that report of, odor of smoke or an outlet or whatever it may be, you could show up and it's actually on fire. You turn the block and it's pushing the street. And the other thing is just the repetitions. When we're laying out and stretching, you're getting, the full effect. Your heart's racing because it's a box alarm. You're thinking, hey, this thing may actually be on fire. Your adrenaline's up. That practice of full speed is what makes you better at stretching. Yeah, the reps of, on your off days going around and just stretching throughout the local are good. They, help practice those pinch points and stuff like that and learn the local. But when you're doing it for, reported structure fire, that's what's getting you, the fast pace of getting that line in service, making sure you're chasing your kinks and stuff like that. That's what's helping you, make sure you're perfecting your craft essentially, is because of that fast pace. If you can do it then, you can do it when it's on fire.
Right.
And I think that's a big thing for, that I enjoy of it is that when we bring new guys in that aren't stretching every day at their home company, they come here and they're doing it on box alarms. And and you're seeing the effect it has on them. They're becoming better at making those stretches and getting the line in position.
With with how Newcastle does it, is like an odor of smoke, is that dispatched as a structure fire, or do they dispatch it as odor of smoke or like issues with an outlet?
Yeah, so anything that has an odor of smoke, they see or smell fire. You know, they can't smell, but they say see or smells fire. Electrical hazards inside. So if it's an outlet, a light ballast, an HVAC unit, whatever it may be, just causes a structure fire. And then depending on the occupancy, if it's, you know, a business calling in, it'll be dispatched as a commercial. If it's a residential, it'll be dispatched as, you know, a structure fire residential. Or if it's a school, nursing home, or high rise or mid rise, it'll be dispatched as a high hazard building. So nothing really changes with the box alarms within that. And a box alarm, for the people that aren't that don't know, it's a four engines, two ladder trucks, and a rescue company. And they have their own assignments and which they'll take when they arrive. But companies can set up their own box alarm, especially for like high hazard buildings, to get an extra engine and ladder due to the need for, if it is on fire, to get, you know, lines in service and evacuations going.
Okay. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. At what point, it's a two-part question. At what point, and if there was anybody that kind of influenced you to go towards the officer route, because you're an officer at Claymont.
I guess not really. My dad was the senior guy on his shift the majority of his career, once he got to that point. And then he became the fire official, which in other places would be named as like a fire marshal. He just didn't have the whole like arresting authority, but you know, he dealt with all the same stuff. And within that, he was part of that command structure. And you know, from watching him, that command structure definitely, I think, encouraged it. And then coming to Claymont and seeing, you know, the respect and, you know, what it meant to be an officer here, I knew that it was definitely something that I wanted to do. But I guess, you know, but just being younger and sports teams and stuff like that, I always liked having that leadership position. And I think that's kind of what helped me get to where I am today and be able to take on that leadership position and be, you know, go with the guys downstairs as well as, you know, all of the other stuff that comes with being an officer.
Okay. And for those that don't know, can you tell us a little bit about Claymont, meaning your the apparatus that you guys have, what you guys respond to? Are you a specialty department? Do you have a specialty company? Things like that.
Yeah, so Claymont's in the most northern part of Delaware. We run roughly 17, 1800 runs now. It's been picking up over the last couple of years. Fires range from anywhere from, you know, 40 to 50, 10 to 15, 20 cuts a year. And then we also have the collapse rescue and trench rescue out of our firehouse. So we have a bunch of guys that are on that team and we respond to anywhere from 20 to 30 runs a year, whether it's a vehicle into a house, an actual trench run, or even a cancellation. But the team gets activated anywhere from, you know, 20 to 30 runs a year. We cover about 8 square miles in our own first due. But with the highway, we go from 8 to 24, and then we run into multiple different locals, even into Delaware County, and then the northern part of our local, out west towards Tallyville, and then a little bit south we have Brandon 100. So in total we run around 75 square miles of box alarm coverage between Newcastle and Delaware County. We have an engine tower and a rescue engine. I'd say probably about 90% of the time now we're double pulling with the engine in the tower. And then the tower crew will cross staff the rescue if we get any sort of MVC or something like that. But recently we've just, you know, been hammering away at the engine tower thing. It works for us and it helps get, you know, more manpower on the street quicker. And again, that's, you know, all volunteer with 14 live-ins and general membership to help us.
Okay. And do you guys utilize response from home to the station? Because I know some places do it, but some places are kind of phasing that out.
So yeah, I mean, we still have that opportunity. So there's times that, you know, if we have one crew and it's that odd time where people are getting home from work, We do have guys that will come up and get the second crew out pretty quickly, but the majority of the time it's the guy staffing that day. If we're staffed one crew, that's probably what we're getting, unless it's a first due fire. And even then, the county's SOPs have kind of changed away, pushed away from the whole home response thing. Obviously, the home company has free rein. It's their box farm. It's kind of what they can do, but the county has changed to kind of getting away from where we have to replace units so much. So now units call in staffed, and they get dispatched from there. So we'll call in, like, if we have the engine tower up, we'll call in two crews, and then we'll be due as an engine and a ladder on the majority of the box farms. And vice that's it for everyone else in the county as well. So as they call in their staffing and stuff like that, that's how they get, pulled for the run cards.
Okay.
Delaware County is a little different. They are getting that way, but they're still on the they pull one apparatus from each firehouse, but they don't necessarily have to be staffed. They're still doing their home response and stuff like that, but it works for them, and they get out the door pretty quickly.
And so how did you find your way towards walking through the doors of Christiana?
So when I was living at Claymont, pretty new, I got my fire certs, and after that, I got my NREMT, my National Registered EMT. And from there, I actually did my EMT class through Christiana. They host their own EMT class. Did my field training through there, which helped me get hired at some other part-time jobs in the county, which was Crandon Heights Fire Company or 14 in Newcastle. Fire Company 18. And I worked those three for a little while. And from there, I got a full-time position with the Tyvo Fire Company, which is actually a second due to 13 up in the Norrdale. And I worked there for about 8 months. And the job application was posted for Christiana. And, it's one of the busier, it's the busiest company in the state. So, I mean, for someone like me who, wants to be busy at work, wants to have good culture, wants to go to fires and get that experience, it was a no-brainer. So, I applied, and I had a lot of friends, through working those part-time jobs and stuff like that, who I've met that have either volunteered there or already working there. And, everything they said was good stuff. It was exactly what you wanted to hear as someone who was looking for a career job. It's good culture. Everyone meshes well. They're busy. They go to fires. They go to cuts. They're making meals every day. The pot of coffee never stops running. You know what I mean? So, like, it's just as a young kid who grew up in a firehouse just like that, but at a slower level, that's exactly what I was looking for. And it does. It feels a lot like home. And I think that's one of the things that I like a lot about it is that it's just like home. It feels like a firehouse. The coffee pot's running. There's always guys at the kitchen table, or in the engine bay. And that's really what attracted me. I applied, and I got the phone call.
So, I've been fortunate. I've interviewed Chief Cowperthwaite of Christiana, and then here recently I had Chief Pressler on. And so how does it, like, I don't want to, like, try to put these guys on a pedestal, but, like, I have to put them on a pedestal. Like, these are into the job dudes. So what's that atmosphere like for you walking into a firehouse knowing, like, its rich culture of, like, who's running the show behind the scenes?
It's actually, it really is cool because, you just go throughout your normal day, and, like, you're working these guys, day in and day out, and they're leaders to the fire service. They're people that a lot of, younger guys like me have looked up to, read books about these guys, and just have always, like, seen them on either social media or out at FDTN, which they both instruct at in Indiana. And it's just crazy sometimes to think when you step back and realize that you are working with these people. Chief Cowperthwaite has been around Newcastle County for a long time. He was actually a medic up here in the northern part of Newcastle County before. And then he was part of FDTN for a long time, same as Chief Pressler. And, being those two guys that have taught all these people, and now I have it, at my fingertips, is honestly great. And I'm very grateful for it. And it's actually a funny story. Newcastle County hosted an award ceremony just for, past couple of years. It's been a while. So, they had a bunch of awards and we were there. And I went over and shook Chief Pressler's hand, like said, like what's going on, like stuff like that. And just had a normal conversation. And we parted ways. And, I turned around. And my dad was like, "Was that Bob Pressler?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah. It's, Deputy Chief. He's the one of the deputies." He's like, "Oh, damn. I would have known that. I would love to shake his hand." And like, to me, it's just another person. That's just a boss to me. It's like
Right.
seeing it from that point of view of, my dad has been in the fire service almost 30 years, has those same role models. And it's, to see that someone can look at something you get to have every day. And it's just, some people would take it for granted, but it's honestly awesome to have. And like you said, it's just having those guys in the firehouse. And it's not just them, from the career staff to some of the volunteers, you can already see that, the path they've paved is definitely being followed. And there's going to be a lot of good dudes that come out of Christiana and Newcastle County that have followed those guys' path. And it's going to be great.
Okay. Now, with Christiana, are you assigned to a specific truck? Because I know they rotate and they have different trucks for it for different responses.
Yeah, so the only assignment that we get is our shifts. So we work with the same five guys and three EMTs. But no, when we go in, we all work together. So we'll always staff an engine and a tower, or ladder truck. And really, you just go in and you get assigned wherever. I could be driving the engine tomorrow, and then the next shift be riding the bar or bossing the engine, riding OV on the truck. It really doesn't matter. Everyone just works together to fill those spots. And honestly, no one really complains. I mean, you have so much fun going to work and hanging out with everybody that it doesn't really matter where you're riding. You know that you're gonna, if you get a good fire, you're gonna be able to get in there and work with each other. So, but yeah, between the volunteers and the career staff, we just get put where is best fit for the apparatus. And they have, some engine only guys and stuff like that that ride the engine so that maybe the truck's light. You'll have more guys on the truck company than the engine company that day. Or if we're putting up, the second engine, which is engine six, that covers the southern part of the local, you may actually get pulled off a back step position to either drive or ride the officer seat of that apparatus.
Okay. All right. In your personal opinion, what does the term aggressive mean to you?
I think the term aggressive can definitely be swayed a little bit. And I think it depends on your department's culture. But overall, being an aggressive fireman is also being safe. But it's, sometimes you have to push that extra minute, extra limit, to get the job done. The fires we're going into, they're not, and again, I'm young and I've been in some decent fires. I haven't been to, some of the best ones that other guys have been to, but fires are gonna be hot. And it sucks, but when you get in there with flow water, and you got to be aggressive. You got to swing the nozzle. You got to get, water everywhere. You got to apply it to the right places. And, just being aggressive is being able to push until the job's done. Whether, you're allowed to run on the fire ground or you're not, like masking up quick, forcing doors, being ready to do all that stuff and being good at it goes hand in hand with being aggressive. It doesn't necessarily have to be, being so aggressive that you're being dumb, whether we're standing in fires and, trying to burn our stuff up just to look cool. That's not being aggressive. That's being dumb. Being aggressive is about being able to get in the fire room, get searches knocked out, getting ahead of the hose line if need be, pushing the hallway, going the extra limit and stuff like that. It's not about, burning your stuff up and looking cool and saying like, oh, we did this, we did that. It's about doing the job in a fast and effective manner. Because in the end, it's not about us. It's not about how we look. It's not about, how cool we look on Instagram or Facebook or anything like that. It's about the people. And it's very corny and cliche, but it is. I mean, when you go out the door, if you're not there to help the people, what are you doing the job for? And I think that's a big thing that sticks with me from being from Wildwood is that we're very tight-knit. It's a very small town. It's 7 miles wide between the three towns. And, everyone knows everybody. You know the people that you were serving that day. You go on a medical call, you'll know that person because you went to high school with them, or you know their parents or whatever it may be. So that kind of relays to me, no matter where I go, is you're there for the community. And yeah, we all love being firemen because we like going to fires. We like going to house fires. We like cutting cars. But at the same time, you like it because of the sense of pride you have after you save that person's house or you were able to save them from that car that they were trapped in and so forth. So being aggressive isn't being dumb. It's not, like I said, burning your stuff up. It's being able to get the job done quick and effectively to make a difference.
Now, this next thing I'm going to say, this is no shot at you, but I find it really awesome and astounding. So you've been in the fire service for, 4 years, right?
Yep.
It's amazing to see the evolution of the fire service because, like, when I was growing up, things were done differently, certain things. But like, for example, were you taught coming into the fire service, masking up with gloves on? Things like that. Like, was that something that was taught to you, and then you pretty much took it on?
Yeah, and honestly, I think I was definitely given an advantage on my years as a junior, right? So starting when I was 15, most junior fire programs are through a volunteer organization. In Wildwood, where I started, actually North Wildwood, their volunteers, weren't obsolete, but they were, they would help, either backfill or respond on like the second alarm and stuff like that because we had the career staff. So a great thing that they did is that they actually had their junior program through the volunteers, through the volunteer firehouses, but we were able to schedule days to go ride with the shifts. So I got that experience of riding, in that career style, with the daily trainings, the runs, the being able to be around a firehouse and understand it, that it gave me that, that next level of, I guess, growth in my fire service career. I was able to, every time I rode, we did some sort of a training, whether it was stretching, flowing water, masking up with our gloves on, and stuff like that. You were able to learn so much at such a young age. And I think that was really my advantage to it. And that's the part that's so different is being a junior member up here is you are busier. So you're getting all that stuff. So guys that join younger here definitely, I think, have that same progressiveness as I did back home. But I know from being in Jersey and other places around us in Jersey, not everyone was, a lot of that. So I was very grateful. And I think that was an advantage I had was watching these guys that were great firemen and be able to teach me all these things so young. Even from that stuff to watching incident commanders. And it's really corny, but I'm squirrely, I love the fire service and being able to learn as much as I can, no matter what level you're at. Because it goes hand in hand with everything else. Being able to listen to incident commanders and how they talk on the radio, or line officers talk, whether the engine officer's calling out water on the fire or primary is negative, what they're saying is important because it helps you understand the fire ground and what they're getting completed, and then compare it to, conditions that are presented after they call out water on the fire. So just being so invested in the fire service is what helped me, paying attention to those transmissions, the trainings we did every day, conditions changing, throwing the ladders in exterior. And I actually had a full year of exterior status at Claymont before getting interior cleared. And as much as it sucked and I missed a lot of fires, I wouldn't change it. It was honestly one of the best years because it allowed me to see everything from an outside view with them, watching them search ahead of the hand line. Calling water on the fire and watching the conditions change, throwing, a full ladder bed or riding the command car with, the chief that day because the apparatus was full. I got to sit there and watch him talk and be cool, calm, and collected and scribe and stuff like that. And as I, go on throughout my career, I'm going to use those things that I was able to watch, especially in the command car, and apply them. And being someone so young, you're taking in all taking in all this information, it's probably the best time to do it. As you get older, you're naturally gonna, not reject, but you're gonna be like, well, yeah, I can do that because I'm older. But you can't because it's something that's new to you. So being young and being able to, taking in all that information is the best time to learn. And that was the best year for me, was being able to come up here and learn fully how Newcastle County operated, along with how Claymont operated. And that's honestly what I think gave me such an advantage to understanding the fire service, understanding, fires in general, how they, live and breathe and stuff like that, and how conditions can change on you in an instance. That was honestly one of the things that excelled me, I think, excelled me into where I am today.
If you don't mind, can you explain on a nice day, on a nice day in Claremont, at Claymont, what sort of training you guys do that way? Because there are a lot of organizations that do some sort of either live-in program or they have a part-time staff program where, they're not able to go career. So like, take us through what kind of trainings you would do. That way we can give people listening an idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So at Claymont we have our Tuesday night drill nights, which we still have, and that's from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And that's going to be something that's kind of more in depth, whether it's elevator rescues, RIT search. It's going to be that topic broken down, and we're going to drill into certain things. So like if it's RIT, we're going to focus on conversions and moving them, and then the next. Next week maybe it's ground ladders, and that's all we're doing. We're throwing ground ladders. We're understanding where to put them, referencing them to something. But our daily trainings is just an hour a day to get the guys active, knock something out, whether it's masking up with gloves on, going across the street to throw ladders, just pulling the engine out and stretching. Even if you're not stretching, you're just repacking. Someone who maybe hasn't done it in a while, but we know they can stretch the line, just get them back into the function of packing them neatly. Searches, in the firehouse, we have a bunch of, areas that we can search in, or if you have a blue door or any forcible entry door, go in there. Hey, everyone gets one rep in, and then you're done for the day. It's not killing you. It's just something to continue, the basics. And it's something that's definitely been preached on me is that's all we're focusing on. If you can do the basics, you can do, anything that's brought to you on the fire ground. And that's all we focus on, whether it's, strutting a locker in the engine bay, or working on airbags, just lifting the couch. You don't have to lift anything heavy to put yourself in a dangerous spot. You're just lifting something to understand the gratitude of what those airbags can do. And that goes for anything. But those are just like little things. And we do an hour a day, or we try our best to do an hour a day. And sometimes we miss it, and everyone misses it. But we have those Tuesdays to catch up, or we have the next day. And through the living program, actually, we have a live-in office essentially. So we have the live-in coordinator, the live-in officer, and the training officer. And that training officer's job, they were actually tasked with coming up with a monthly training schedule. So they come up with a bunch of topics as just suggestions. If you come up with another day, you can do it. But they gave you suggestions on what to do each day. And that's kind of helped us, continue that of like, oh, hey, today we can do this, or hey, tomorrow we can work on that instead. And just stuff like that.
With you being a company officer at Claremont, what kind of leader did you want to be, and what does leadership look like to you?
Yeah, so for me specifically, and I think it's something that I've always liked to see, was being someone for the guys. Right? We all know that, you have to be a boss sometimes, and they have to do what you tell them. They'll be mad at you, they'll get annoyed and stuff like that, and it just is what it is with being a company officer. And it's something I learned from watching my dad and stuff like that, and the other officers that I was close with back home. Is like, no matter what, you're going to do stuff that they're not going to like, but at the end of the day, you are in charge, and it's it falls back on you. If something happens, the fire chief's going to look like, hey, why did your crew do this, or hey, why are the live-ins doing this? But for me, I always wanted to be one for the men. I always thought that was an important thing. No matter what, you're one for the men, because you can be all high and mighty, but if the men aren't happy, then you're not happy. They're not going to perform well. They're not going to, enjoy being there. They're not going to staff the firehouse. So doing the best I can to make them happy within reason, obviously, but also, if they want to go out and train, you're going out and training with them, and you're showing them that you're going to train with them. That's kind of a pet peeve of mine. And, some people will get offended by it, but if you're a company officer, you need to be training with them. And if you're not, you're showing weakness within the system. If you can't show that you're down with and dirty with them, they're not going to trust you. And then there goes everything you've ever earned. Or, if you're a new officer, I think that was a big thing for me as a new officer, was making sure I earned their keep. I earn their keep as a fireman. But when you be convert to that officer, you need to earn that keep of being a leader and being able to show that you can stay, be the coolest person in that environment no matter what. So being, for the men type of officer, you're standing up for them. You're trying to change things that, they want to see, whether it's a hose load, it's a nozzle, they want this training, they want that training, and just trying the best you can to get them what they want. And obviously you can't give them everything and they're going to understand that. But as long as you can show that, you're listening to those guys, they're going to respect you and they're going to make your day-to-day easier. When I go downstairs, after this and say, hey, we got to do some chores, they're like, all right, let's bang out the chores real quick. Instead of, some officers, they may see it as a power trip. They're like, hey, we're going to do chores. And they're like, well, no. And they're going to get all high and mighty and stuff like that. And I don't think that's right. Guys aren't going to respect you if you continue to do that and stuff like that. So being one for the men, but also, standing your ground in certain things, they're going to start respecting, like, hey, these are his boundaries and we understand them and respect them. And obviously, as I, get older and promote and stuff like that, I'll understand the operational differences. And that's kind of been a big thing of understanding, like, from a fireman, like, oh, like, why are they doing this? Like, why is it this happening and stuff like that? And as you start to promote and become an officer, you understand, what the head honcho needs to get done, what the fire chief's, expectations are. He's always going to have his expectations as chief. It's no different than having, a president. A president has his list of things that he wants to knock out. The chief's no different. And you as an officer, as much as you're trying to make the men happy, it's also your job to bring down what the chief wants and put it to your men. But if you can give it to your men in the right way and get them to respect the fire chief's decision, it makes your job a whole lot easier because you're not dealing with, them rejecting any policies or not wanting to do something because they don't agree with it. They now understand, like, oh, it is what it is, and we'll do it. And that could literally be anything within the fire service. But I think that was a big change for me, is going from someone who was like, oh, why the hell are we doing this, to, hey, this is what he wants. We don't have to agree with it, but this is what he wants, so we're going to do it. And getting them to understand that's a big thing. But also was a big change for me as someone so young. I think that's something that I have, not to carry on, but battle with as well, as being so young. There's guys here that are older than me. And earning the respect of guys that are older you, not by forcing it, but if you can show that you can do stuff the same way they can or even better, is going to help earn that respect. And not in a cocky way of doing it better, but doing it and going on with your day. Don't try to show, like, oh, see, I did this and you didn't. It's, hey, I made this push, or hey, we forced this door real good and I gave you good feedback. Like, hey, man, go work today. That's going to help them understand, like, hey, he's one of us and I'm going to do what I'm told no matter how old he is, because I know he can do the job and I trust him.
Love it. Love it. Okay. What's your take on outside training? Getting outside of your department walls to, go out and learn something and potentially bring it back?
I think you have to. I think there's always going to be ways that your department wants you to train, or specific things they want you to do. Whether it's how you force a door, how you cut a garage door, how you're cutting a car. But there's never going to be the same scenario. You can go to one story single family tomorrow in your bedroom off, and it's quick and easy. And then the next day, you go to a one-story single family with a bedroom off, and now you have hoarding conditions. It's immediately changing the operations in which you need to do. So we can, practice stretching the same every time, but how you deal with it past that, comes back from those outside trainings. So from going, to either, nozzle forward class, a, FDTN or anywhere. FDIC, just listen to a lecture on, some of these chiefs or firemen. They're going to help give you insight, or be able to keep that, new tool in the toolbox for when something arises that's, excuse me, outside of the box. And even then, you're not going to be able to get everything out of your home company. You can only squeeze that orange so much. You got to get out there, whether it's for tech rescue classes, hose line advancements, getting those live fire burns and stuff like that. You know, not everyone has the opportunity to go out and do, you know, real live fire training all the time. Maybe it's propane, it's not, you know, the high heats and stuff like that. It's a smoke machine. So finding those places that give you the outside view on stuff would really help, you know, advance your career, no matter what it is. And I've been lucky to have the opportunity to do stuff like that. I've been able to go to, you know, Harrisburg Area Community College for my FEMA collapse specialist class and do trench rescue down here, or go out to FDTN and get those experiences from different classes that they host. And I, you know, being someone that takes those classes helps see how it's affected me. And it helps know that, you know, it's required for other people. People need to get out there and take those classes. And that's honestly what I try to do the best, is just make sure the guys continue training, no matter what it is. Because, you know, we get instances with being live-in and all volunteers that sometimes all you're doing is driving the fire engine or riding up front. And, you know, you can lose your skills with within just a month if you're not doing any of it. So making sure those guys that, you know, are clear to drive all the time are still getting, you know, hose advancements and stretches in. And maybe, you know, since we're going to live burn today, we get them on the nozzle and backup position instead of driving. That way they get all those, you know, different techniques. So sending them to them classes can keep them, you know, back to basics again, keeping them, you know, strong in their basics to know that no matter what we have to handle, they can get it done.
Okay. Personal question for you.
Yeah.
Engine or truck? What's your thing?
I definitely lean more towards the special service side, but whatever takes me to fire, man. Like it's that thrill of going to fire and being with your guys. Like last night we had a fire. It's the bedroom fire, and I was the engine officer. But it was a great time because I got to take those guys, you know, up second floor, make the bedroom, make the knock. But you know, if I was on the other end, it would have been great to, you know, go up there, tell like, hey, we got two bedrooms here, there, let's get a search done, so forth. But for me, the special service, it makes you think. And I love being able to, you know, think through a problem. And I think it makes you a stronger fireman of being able to, you know, you get a situation thrown at you that's not normal and you got to fix it no matter what. So, you know, you have that constant thinking, whether you're searching ahead of a hose line, you're keeping track of your guys, or, you know, you're searching a bedroom and you're like, hey, I got the fire behind me. The moment I start to feel it, you know, hit my ears, it's like, hey, let me go peek at the door. Or, cutting a car and, you know, making sure that, you know, I'm hitting all my right spots. It makes you think a little in depth of, hey, how am I going to get through this problem? And it's a constant forward motion of thinking. And not knocking anything the engine does, because, you know, they have their own stuff. The engine officer has a lot of decisions to make sure they're going the right route, positioning properly so the truck can get, you know, side alpha. Finding your hydrant, whether it's going to be a forward lay, reverse lay, your own hydrant, whatever it may be, and then choosing your right line selection. And if, you know, for us, we're not pulling two crews every day. We pull up on fires all the time. We're alone for, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes. It's on me to find that fire. Or the nozzleman, if we're running, you know, a 4-man engine, we leave a guy at the hydrant and then it's just an officer, a nozzleman. As an officer, I need to be able to get him line. So now it's on the nozzleman, you know, to find that fire and be able to locate it and continue the flow. And know the difference of that the fire is backing down, or I need the flow continuously for several minutes to make sure that I'm making the knock that I need. So I'm not knocking the engine. I just think the special service allows you to think way more, gives you more outside the box situations, and allows you to kind of use a little bit more of your skills. Plus, I don't think there's any better position on the fire ground besides the truck officer. And then after that, I'd rather be on the bar or the nozzle. But besides the three, I think those are some of the best positions you can ride. They give you the most experience, the most, you know, they make you work your situational awareness and, you know, see everything from a bigger view. You get those higher heat conditions and understand like, hey, here's my no-go spot. Like if I start to feel any worse, this is no-go. And that all falls back on training too. A lot of the training burns you'll do, you'll realize are hotter than they should be. But you should note that, hey, this is so hot that it's unbearable. If I ever feel this, that's my time to go. And I think it's a good thing that FDTN does, that it puts you in these such high heat scenarios that you realize, like, hey, this is really hot, but this is for me to note in the back of my head that this is when it's time, that I'm either too close, I'm too far away from my hand line, or it's we got to figure out a different game plan. We got to back out. We got to look for where the fire is and so forth.
Okay. All right. Has your dad been able to come in and like see how Claymont does things? Because, you know, I'm sure it's probably really neat for him to see the transition of the fire service, how it was for him and what it is today. So has he been able to come up and ride with you?
He hasn't been able to come up and ride, but he's definitely he's come up and hung out, and he watches all the videos and stuff like that. And but he's gotten to come up a couple times and see, you know, the firehouse and see how we operate and stuff like that. Just through our videos, and I always show him like the raw clips, so like he gets to see, you know, obviously we got to cut some things out in his videos, but he gets to see all the raw clips from us pulling up and so forth. And you know, I think he probably listens to every fire that this place goes to. I got him on Pulse Point and all the stuff to see what goes on, so he's, you know, he's all about it. He texts me all the time. He's like, oh, like I'm tuned in. Or Claymont actually had a fire. It wasn't a fire, it was a heater backfire, but it sounded real good. It was like a basement job. And I was away and he was texting me about it. And I had no idea what was going on. So like he's really invested. So he gets what it's about. And, you know, not even trying to, I guess, put myself on a pedestal, but, you know, it's nice to see, you know, how proud I can make him because of how well known he was, you know, down there. And being back home, that was something that was, you know, nothing bad, and he actually encouraged it. But I always was known as, you know, like, oh, that's Cripper's kid, or this is, you know, his son, and this is that. You know, coming up here, he was like, find a place that you can make your own name. You don't have to live in my shadows. You know, he was never one of those guys that wanted me to live in his shadows. He wanted me to be my own person. And now being up here, you know, it's cool to see that, you know, I've kind of earned everything on my own. No one knows me as, you know, his son. And he sees it as like, you know, like I'm doing all this, and it makes him proud that, you know, anything he's taught me. And it's honestly, he's probably one of my biggest mentors growing up. And I listened to a lot of what he had to say, that I'm doing it all essentially on my own with, you know, the knowledge that he was able to give to me. But, it's a good feeling when, you know, he says like, oh, I'm proud of you and stuff like that. So it's definitely cool.
Okay.
But he understands a lot of what this place is about, and he really likes it. And I think sometimes it frustrates him. And I always joke with him and I say that, you know, he chooses not to come right along because he's too scared he's going to like it too much. But he likes it back home.
Okay.
Especially being retired now.
Okay. All right. What's next for you, man? I mean, I know you're still very young in into the fire service game, but like looking down the line, down the road, what are your aspirations?
I mean, obviously it's, you know, any kid's dream to, you know, continue on in his fire service career and, you know, this career spot and, you know, promote and stuff like that. So obviously like all the basic stuff like that, like, it'd be honest, be great to, you know, promote at work one day and stuff like that. But, living here and just having all this experience, like truthfully for me, next is, you know, the adult parts of life. It's, you know, eventually getting married and having kids and stuff like that. I know this is a fire podcast, but you know, all that stuff's important too. So
yeah,
I lived here for, you know, in September will be 5 years. So after that, you know, my girlfriend will be finishing up nursing school soon. So, you know, we'll be kicking off our own life and stuff like that. So that'll definitely be my next couple, stages of life, just doing stuff like that. But back to the fire services, you know, next year, you know, I am putting in for assistant chief to kind of move up, get some experience, you know, in a command car and stuff like that. But luckily living here won't pull me away too much. Being a living, you know, your job is riding the fire trucks, and that's what I love. But it's just being able to see, I guess, the operations from a different side, and allowing the guys below me to move up. You know, I mean, there's guys that are under me that, you know, have either joined later on, or just now are deciding like, hey, I want to try the officer thing. So, you know, I got to be a lieutenant for a year and a captain for two. So it's time for me to, you know, move out of those spots and I'll let other guys learn those positions, because if you hold those spots forever, they're never going to be able to get that experience that I got, and you know, they're not gonna be able to learn the same things I learned. So it's important to let them, you know, those spots open up, and let those guys get in the lieutenant and captain spots. So it's good for me to, you know, see the assistant chief position, see, what it's like running a fire and stuff like that, and realizing that I'll hate it and want to be on a fire truck. But but yeah, I mean, it's good. It's all stuff that, I definitely want to see. And now's the time to do it before I get too busy with, having kids and get married and stuff like that. I look at it as, I have a lot of good experiences so far, and I think that, it'd be good to just see it from a different view and ride, the command car every once in a while and maybe run a couple fires.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but
Yep.
I gotta know, how old are you?
I'm 22.
22.
Yep.
Listen, man. So your mindset and my mindset at your age, no, and like I said, I'm not trying to, like, I don't want people to think, oh my God, he's trying to blow this kid's head up. That's not what I'm trying to do. It's just, it truly is amazing to hear how your mindset is when it comes to the fire service, but also how you mentioned, like, hey, the fire service isn't just what I'm all about. Like, I have a life outside. I have a, you have a, fi a fiance or a girlfriend, fiance, whatever. You're looking to progress your life, but it's just the fact that at 22, man, like the experience, that's the thing. The kids nowadays, or young men nowadays, are getting the experience. They're getting that seat time. They're getting that education. They're going to these fires. You are getting all this at such a young age, where, like, people my age, man, it takes us years to be able to see and get all that experience that you're getting right now. So, like, kudos to your parents for raising you. Kudos to the
Thank you.
mentors that are around you. Kudos to who you decide to hang around with. And, like, it's phenomenal, man. It's great to see, like, the future. You are the future of the fire service. As I get older and I start calling departments when I fall and trip every time to come pick me up, like, to see people like you coming to respond to these incidences, it's awesome to see. It's phenomenal, man. There's a reason why I wanted to have you on here. And I just gotta say, dude, like, sky's the limit for you. I
I
definitely
appreciate that.
see
Thank you.
chief officer potential, somewhere down the line. I just want to say, man, don't ever change, because it's so awesome to see into the job firemen like you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I also do have a couple personal questions. So, who does Claymont's videos? Because I want to give a shout out to that person, because they are always jam up.
A lot of the videos started with the guy that actually used to run our recruitment program, Nick Earn. He was living here for, I believe, 4 or 5 years. He kind of passed the torch of the recruitment side to me on running the Instagram and stuff like that. But then we had a newer living come in who's actually really good at editing videos, and his name's Cody Newton. He's been living here for 1.5 years now, maybe. And he started from nothing. Just a kid that was brought in by a family member, and I was like, hey, this is the firehouse. And honestly, he's shaped up to be, a strong fireman. He's made a lot of good fires and proved himself. He actually had the pipe last night for that bedroom fire we had. He did a great job. So, but yeah, he does all of our videos now. And it was something him and I actually talked about a lot was, we watch. We're all squirrels. We watch, all the Stockton videos and stuff like that, and watching them do put their fires together. They're great videos. Not only is it for the public, but it's for us. We're not, when we show these videos, we're not showing, oh, this is all we did good. Like, there's gonna be mess ups, and specifically us when we make these videos, like, we know the behind the scenes. So we know, like, when I watch these videos, I don't care that it shows us messing up. One of the videos out there, actually, one of the high-rise fires we had at 27,000 Valley Run Drive is on our YouTube. And it shows a lot of mistakes that we made. You know what I mean? All the caps were off the standpipes that fire. We were still using inch and three quarter as our high-rise racks. We went in with a non, with piss poor pressure. So, like, these videos are to show the disadvantages and complications that may arise at your own fires and being able to better yourselves off of it. Same thing with the current videos we're doing now. It's just nice to see, like, how us specifically and somewhat in a whole that Newcastle County operates in with the 421 and the box alarms and stuff like that, and how we're banging out these searches. But it also shows, things to learn from. A lot of these fires show, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't have done this, or like, hey, this was the result of that. And we understand, obviously, we're, accepting our faults by posting the videos. That's a big thing, too, is like we're all going to make mistakes. And owning up to them is the biggest part of getting better at them. So these videos are really for people to see, some of our failures or mistakes and show how they could better it, but also showing, by doing certain things, you can better the fireground overall. And honestly, I think the biggest thing with our videos just shows the basics. Every time you see it, it's guys stretching lines, it's forcing doors the same way. Even a couple of them have, some victim removals, and it's all the same stuff. You see all the basics that have been taught to people, like specifically the one to Old Fire. I mean, they always tell you, like, oh, if you find someone, get their head to the window so they can have some fresh air. And the kid does it, and he's, brand new. And he just grabs them and puts them right out the window. That's just that. When your adrenaline's peaking, you're zoning in, that tunnel vision's hitting, like you're back to your basics immediately. And you're doing all the same steps you would if it was in a training. And I think it's an important part of making these videos is showing these younger firemen, like, hey, it's okay to be aggressive, but sometimes you can get in bad spots, or hey, this can happen to you. And these are the conditions that may, you may be put in. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people have some good things to say, and there's some good bad things to say, but there's always going to be guys that have bad stuff to say about them. But honestly, it's just about the exposure. And honestly, it does go, it goes back to what we were talking about with recruitment. Content is huge to these younger kids. They want to see that, when they go to a place, they're going to be going to that fire. They're going to be cutting cars and stuff like that. And being able to give them that, a little bit of like, oh, this is a badass video, gives them that itch, it definitely helps us in recruitment. And then, the retention part comes from being inside the firehouse and having, excuse me, guys that, work with them and want them to be here, So, but yeah, Nick Earn and Cody Newton are really the guys that hit ahead on with them videos, and they do a great job. And without those videos, we wouldn't have the recruitment that we have now.
No, definitely. And I'll say this, the last one, so it was the yeah the this last video you guys just posted, the cinematography, the editing, and the soundtrack, like chef's kiss. Like, to
Thank
me,
you.
that was the, to me, out of all the department videos that I watched, that one was hands down the best video I've ever seen. Awesome.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Nick, I want to say thank you, man, for coming on. I know when I asked, you probably were like, bro, like, why me? But there's a reason. I
Yeah,
haven't
absolutely.
been wrong yet. And dude, like I said, just continue your path. Your career is going to be bright, man. Don't ever let anybody deter you from chasing your dreams and your goals. You are surrounded by a bunch of great people. You're a part of great fire departments right now. So I just want to say thank you for coming on, man, taking the time out of your day to do this.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me, show Claymont who we are.
Definitely.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.